we did verses number 7 and 8, where the Lord tells us that I create the whole universe out of my own prakriti. As we said, the Lord has two aspects, the consciousness and the matter. And the consciousness illumines it, but it's the prakriti is the creative force of the Lord. And with that creative force, he says, at the beginning of each kalpa, at the beginning of each cycle, I create the world. And at the end of the cycle, after several billion years, the world, I take back into me. It merges back into me. So it is the unmanifest and the manifest. And then he says, I do that again and again. Every, you know, this recycling, that the whole universe is created and then it merges back into the unmanifest and then again becomes manifest. And he says every being is created because of their vasanas, because of their prakriti. Each one of us took birth because of our unmanifest vasanas, our unfulfilled vasanas. So he says avashat, we do not have a choice because we have these desires, these vasanas, which cause us to take birth and cause us to act in the world. And the goal of spiritual progress is to go beyond vasanas, beyond desires, and realize the consciousness within the Lord, that is also the consciousness outside. That is the one Lord that is within and without. So then the question would arise, well, why did the Lord create? And was it an act of ego? You know, he wanted his ego to be satisfied. Oh, I can create. I'm so almighty, powerful. So was there any selfish desire, any desire out of which he created? That may be the question. Why does he create the world? There is so much suffering and all. So in 9th and 10th, he answers this question beautifully, why he created the world and what was the motive. So we'll do the verse number 9 in chapter 9. Nacha mam tani karmani nibadnanti dhananjaya Udasinavadasinam Asaktam Teshu Karmasu. So the Lord says, Mam, me, Nacha Tani Karmani. Nacha means not. Tani Karmani, these activities of creation and dissolution. Nibadnanti Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya is one of Arjuna's names. Nibadnanti. Badna means bound. So Nibadnanti means they do not bind me. Na, in the beginning, it says these activities do not bind me. Then, how do you create? He said, Udasin Vat. Udasin means indifferent. Udasin Vat means as if indifferent. Asinam. Asinam means I am stationed, I am staying. As if indifferent. Asaktam teshu karmasu. Asakta means unattached. Sakta means attached. Asakta means unattached. Teshu karmasu. Teshu. Teshu karmasu. In these activities of all these creatures that are going on, the men, the animals, the birds, the plants, the fish, whatever activities are going on, I stay as if indifferent and as if unattached. And these activities do not bind me. They do not create ego. They do not create. And why is that? So the Lord says that first of all, the Lord is all complete, paripurna. When he is all complete, when he is all perfect, everything, then there is nothing that can be added to make his happiness more, or nothing can be taken away to make his happiness less. Because he is all complete, he is all perfect. When the pot is completely full, you cannot add any more water to make that pot more full. You know, it's already full. So similarly, the Lord is full. But in our case, since we have still a lot of vasana, still a lot of desires, and why do these desires arise? Out of incompleteness. I feel that I am incomplete. And I am at this moment incomplete, and maybe by getting that object, I'll become more happy. I have 1 million, maybe the second million will make me more happy. I have one factory. When I have 3 factories, I'll be happy. Or I love this person, but when I get that person and marry him, I'll be happy. Or this particular power, position, this new sari, this new Mercedes, this new jewelry. So we are incomplete, and that's why we think that by getting this object or thing or position or power or person will make me complete. But the Lord says, I am all complete. So when he is all complete, he is not creating these desires out of ego. And that's why he says, they do not bind me. See, activities that are done, as Swamiji in his commentary, those of you who have that green book, he says that activities that are done with ego and egocentric desires bind us. What do we mean by ego and egocentric? Ego means the feeling that I am the doer and I am the limited individuality, perceiver, feeler, and thinker. And when I perform activities with the idea that I am the doer and that I am the enjoyer, that with these activities I'll become happy, then that activity binds me. Because, okay, some person makes me happy, but tomorrow that person is not in my life, I become unhappy. This job or this position or this wealth or house or whatever that's making me happy, when I depend on that for my happiness, and when I work with that ego, then those activities bind me. Because I have one house, I want a bigger house. I have one sari, I want more saris. I have one jewelry. So your desires increase. And also when you do the activities with the idea that I am the doer, then it breeds arrogance, you know, that I did so much, I am so wonderful, I did such a great job, and I am better than the others because I got this position or I did. So that I and my, when those two things come, that is what binds us. That is what makes us. So activities that are done unselfishly, without the sense of doership, enjoyership, without the sense of I and my, do not bind us. While activities that are done selfishly, with the idea that I will get something out of it, those activities create bondage, create problems for us. Swamiji, of course, has given an example in his commentary, but I was thinking to myself what kind of an example we can use. So I was thinking the similar situation. Say a person has robbed a bank. Now the person who helped him escape in the car was not seen by the cameras. And so they are both running and they are hiding in a park. Now the police comes. Now the person who drove the car was not seen. So he's sitting comfortably. The other guy is hiding behind a bush. And the police comes and says, have you seen this person? He says, no, I have not seen. Now he's telling a lie. Why? To hide the crime. And also he knows that if the other guy gets caught, I also will get caught. So that activity is egocentric. It is wrong. It is immoral. It is illegal. Now a similar situation is there. You are sitting in the park and this girl comes running and she says, you know, there is this man chasing me with a gun and he's going to, if he gets hold of me, he's going to molest me. Can you please, you know, I want to hide. And so she hides behind the bush. Now this man comes with a gun and he's strong and you can't beat him. And he says, have you seen this girl? Now the truth would be, yes, I have seen her. You know, she's hiding behind the bush. But you say no, because if you tell him, then that girl's life will be in danger. So you might say, well, she went the other way. Or you might say, I don't know or I don't see. Now in both situations, the person has told a lie. And you might say, well, you know, they are both wrong. In the highest perspective, they are both wrong. But when that second lie is told with the idea of protecting this girl, he does not have any selfish motive in it, you can say, well, such an activity may be okay, even though you might say in the strictest sense. So activities that are done to protect me or to make myself better or to are the ones that bind us. But if you do an activity without the sense of I and my and with the idea of benefiting society, like a surgeon, you know, he may have to cut open a belly. You might say, well, you know, that's a violent activity. But if he's doing that to save a person's life, that activity becomes noble. So activities that are binding are the ones that have the doership and the enjoyership, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. But the Lord is one who has no raga or dvesha. He has no likes or dislikes. He does not say that I am creating this world to show my glory. Out of his joy, he had this creative ability and he just decided that, you know, let me just create this world. So out of his joy, the whole universe emerged. It did not, it's not that it made him happier or unhappier, but spontaneously he said, I have the creative ability and the, you know, let me just create this world. And so he created this whole world, just a world, beautiful world, all perfect. Everything was beautiful, the animals, birds, plants, all comets working, all planets working, all stars. And then he made the mistake of putting humans. And then we are the ones who came and made a mess of this world. Why? Because he gave us the ability to think. See, up to animals, they have no thinking ability. They just do what, you know, instinct tells them. But humans have been given the intellect. And the idea is that human is the only birth in which you can evolve to the highest. So man is created in God's own image. That's what the Bible says. So we have the ability to think, we have the ability to evolve, and that is when the earth then we had, you know, the good people do good things and the bad people do bad things, and that's why the world is a mixture of good and bad. So the idea is that I stay indifferent. It's not that he doesn't care, it's that he is not involved in the presence of the Lord. Everything is happening. Like to give an example. Electricity. Now, electricity is going through the wires, and some places the electricity is creating heat, you know, the heater is on, and then some places there's a freezer or a fridge and it is ice cold, and then some places it's creating a TV, you know, a light, you know, sound. And now the electricity does not get hot in the hot room and get cold in the freezer and then get lit up in the TV or get lit up in the lights. No. The electricity is as if unattached. In the presence of electricity, the heater can heat and the refrigerator can cool and the TV can show the picture and the bulb can be lit. So you can say, udasin vat asinam, the electricity might say, I am indifferent, I am unattached. You can use my power and you can use it to heat the room or cool the room or show the TV or show the lights. So udasin vat asinam, the electricity might say, I am indifferent, I am not affected. I do not get hot when the heat is there or cold. So similarly, the Lord or the consciousness is the one in whose presence everything is happening and who gives us the energy. Now with that energy, what you do with it is up to you. Some people have good vasanas, good desires, and they do good things. They become saintly, they become kind, they become loving, compassionate. Or others use the same energy, the same strength given by the Lord, and they become criminals, they become murderers, they become horrible people. So just as electricity cannot be blamed for misuse, if you misuse the electricity, so similarly, God cannot be blamed if we misuse the power. Ultimately, it is we who decide what to do with the power, and then we suffer the consequences. If you do good deeds, you have good result. If you do bad deeds, you have bad result. Talking about electricity and reminds me of a little joke. There was this man who brought this electric robot, you know, that you could charge, and he just brought it. And his wife says, why did you bring this robot? He says, this is a special robot. It can tell. If you tell a lie, it can detect it. He said, really? He said, yeah. So then the boy, their high school kid, walked in. It was 6 o'clock. So they said, your school gets out at 4. Why did you come home at 6? He says, oh, I went to the library to study. And right away the robot went and gave him a slap. So he said, see, you didn't tell the truth. The robot knows. He says, yeah, yeah, we went to our friend's house and we were watching movies. He said, okay, what did you watch? So the boy says, we watched Lion King. Again, the robot gives him a slap. He says, no, sorry, we watched Sex and the City. So he had to tell the truth. Then the father says, you know what? When I was your age, I never told a lie to my parents. And right away the robot goes and gives him one slap. So the wife starts laughing, you know. He says, Jim, you should not laugh at Kenny, the son. After all, he's your son, you know. And the robot went and gave her a big slap. So the electricity cannot be blamed for the activities of the robot. So similarly, the Lord cannot be blamed if we tell lies or if we tell the truth. So that's what he says. Asaktam teshu karmasu. He says, I remain uninvolved in the activities of the prakriti, of the beings. And whatever good or bad we do depends on our vasanas, depends on our desires, it depends on our tendencies. And a person with good tendencies will do good things. And the same energy can be used or misused. I was thinking about a beautiful story. I'm sure a lot of you know this story about Alfred Nobel, you know, the one who made the Nobel Prize. I was reading his life and it's very, very interesting. He lived in the late 1800s. And his father was a great inventor and he himself became, originally he was interested in poetry and all, but his father was a millionaire and he wanted him to be involved in the business. So he sent him to Paris to learn engineering and chemistry. And while he was studying, he got very interested in nitroglycerin. As we know, nitroglycerin is a combustible, it's like explodes on contact. And in those days, somebody had found nitroglycerin, but it was so inflammable that if you didn't handle it correctly, it would cause an explosion. A lot of people died while working with it. In fact, Alfred Nobel got interested and he and his brother were working with nitroglycerin and his brother got killed because he didn't know how to handle it. But then Alfred Nobel, thinking about it, he came up with a special solvent called kisargor, which when combined with nitroglycerin made it stable so it wouldn't explode. And from that he made dynamite. And then he came up with the idea of a fuse, that when you light the fuse or when you push that lever, then the dynamite can explode. And so his idea was that this dynamite can be very useful in construction. And it was used. You know, they were using it to build roads and clear mountains and obstacles. And it was a very, very useful. And he made millions and millions of dollars because it was used all over the world. He had so many patents. But then people got an idea. They said, oh my God, this destructive force, we can use it in the war. And so people started using in the war. That same energy of the dynamite, of the nitroglycerin, they used it to destroy bridges and kill people and destroy people's homes and buildings. And it is said that he got so hurt by that. He felt, you know, there are different versions, but the one that I read, he said he was so affected. He said that, what did I do? I created this force for the benefit of mankind. And look at it now. People are using it to kill each other, to destroy the world. And out of that, he came the desire to create the Nobel Prize. So in those days, you know, he set aside $9 million, which in, of course, in 1898, when he passed away, would have been worth more than 100 or 200 million right now. So that money he put aside, and from that interest and from that investments, every year they give the Nobel Prize. You know, they give prize in peace. The first, of course, he wanted to give was prize for peace. Whoever has done the most for world peace. And then, of course, chemistry, physics, and mathematics, and biology. You know, so those were the five, I think, Nobel Prizes. So the idea of this story is that dynamite is the same, nitroglycerin is the same. It is up to the man how he or she uses the energy of the dynamite. Do you use it to create, you know, a road or remove a, you know, a mountain or maybe create a path for people to go, or you create an ability to kill others, to destroy, to hurt, to kill. So that's what the Lord is saying, that these activities do not bind me because I do not have any likes or dislikes. And also he does not really have any doership or an enjoyership. It's not that by doing this he will feel more fulfilled or he will get more pleasure. In our case, we feel a sense of doership that I did this. And as a result of doing this, I'm going to enjoy the result. And so we always base our happiness on something in the future. That I did this today, and if this thing works out, I'll be happy. If it doesn't work out, I'll be unhappy. So we are not saying that you should not plan your activities, or that if you do something well and, you know, you get some joy, it's okay. You know, you made a beautiful painting. And then you feel good after that. Oh, it's such a beautiful painting. Somebody comes. But if you base your happiness on that people should praise this painting and it should be put in the gallery and then it should be sold for $1,000, then you are basing your happiness on the result of the painting. If you get joy out of the creation, okay, I have this ability to create. I created this painting. And it is out of joy, out of, you know, just a sense of, you know, it's okay. I wanted to do it. I did something beautiful. And then you are not basing your happiness on somebody else's appreciation or somebody else's praise or how much money you get. So that is, until then, the activity is not binding. If you do something, and same thing when we are working in the world, when you are serving or when you are helping, or even when you're doing your daily duties, you know, you're cooking in the kitchen or you're seeing your patients or you're working in the pharmacy or in the hospital or office or wherever. If you do the activity with the idea that this is the right thing to do, I have the ability, let me do my best, let me help, you know, people through my activity. And in the process, of course, I'm going to get paid. You know, we all cannot work free. I mean, you know, you have to get paid. But while I'm doing the activity, my eye should not be on how much I'm going to get paid, how much money I'm going to make, how rich or successful I'm going to become. But at this moment, whatever activity I'm doing, whether it's my customer or my patient or my whatever activity I'm doing, I do it to the best of my ability. Do it as a servant of the Lord. I am an agent of the Lord. I have been placed here and I have been given this talent. And whatever the talent may be, whatever my abilities are His gift to me. And as I am working in the world, I do not have the sense of doership or enjoyership. I do what is right and I do what is appropriate. And when you do an activity with that kind of attitude, then also your vasanas get less. That's what Gurudev says in his commentary. He says that activities done as an agent of the Lord and done to serve the world. And we also say that besides your daily activity, it is very important to have some amount of time for community service, you know, to give back, because we have got so much from Him. Whatever I have, everything I have is my gift to Him. So it is very important to give some time or some effort or some way if you can give back. So when I do that, when I work without a sense of doership, and even when I am serving or I'm doing good, I do not get an ego that I am doing a wonderful job that the Lord has given me and I'm working, then what it does, it slowly reduces your vasanas. When you do work unselfishly, your vasanas get less. Also, when you love the Lord and you work as His servant, your vasanas get less. And also, when you get the right knowledge, when you read the Bhagavad Gita, when you meet saints and talk to them. So with all these three processes, with service, with love, and with knowledge, it reduces your vasanas, and the Lord that is within becomes manifest. And that is what we say when you sit for meditation or you sit for prayer. Remember, Lord is not only outside in the temple or the church, but He's in my heart. And when you sit with that attitude, then the Lord who is there everywhere, all pervasive, becomes manifest. So that is what the Lord is telling us, that do your activities without the ego and egocentric desires. Do them unselfishly. Do them dedicated to the Lord, and when you do that, then you become more spiritual, more divine. And that is why He says, Udasin Vat Asinam. I am as if indifferent. It's not that He does not care. You know, people might say, well, if the Lord just gives us the results, then what is His role? There is a big role for the Lord, because first of all, He is supporting. It is His life, it is consciousness. The fact that I am speaking, I am breathing, I'm seeing, listening, hand, walking, talking. It is the Lord. He's there in us. But also, why they say that when you remember him with love, when you remember him with love, then he fills your heart with his qualities. And that's why remembering the Lord, you can invoke his presence. So even though he is sitting indifferent, but he's always available for us. So it is a very interesting, that's why they call it a relationless relationship. Even though the Lord is involved in the world, he's not really involved. Each one of us is doing our activities with the energy given to us by the Lord, and we suffer the consequences or get the good results or the bad results. So everything that is happening because of his presence, but he is not involved. So that is the understanding of this very beautiful shloka. That's why he says, Udasina vat asinam. I stay as if indifferent. He's not really indifferent, but as if indifferent. Asaktam teshu karmasu. I am not attached. As we said, attachment only comes when the ego comes, when the selfishness comes. So that is this beautiful shloka. And there's a lot of people here. I hope we'll have some good comments or discussion.